Case of the day is Wyatt against the United States. Mr. Waldman.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Ari Waldman of Winston & Strawn, and I represent the appellant John Wyatt in this case. This is a case of multiple examples of deficient performance that constitute a denial of Mr. Wyatt's right to effective counsel. It was Mr. Sannon, Mr. Wyatt's counsel below, that encouraged Mr. Wyatt to agree to the conditional plea. And this had two consequences: the ability to appeal the evidentiary ruling that occurred below, because the conditional plea left the sentence open, it made the sentencing mitigation argument critical. And Mr. Sannon failed in both areas. So as for the argument at sentencing, counsel had two responsibilities: to develop an effective argument to make sure that the sentence was going to be as short as possible, and because the conditional plea left the sentence open, he was going to have to argue that Mr. Wyatt should not be considered a career offender. On both instances, Mr. Sannon performed efficiently. He put forth a half-hearted mitigation case, offering character letters and a couple of sentences about Mr. Wyatt's prostate condition. But when the district court specifically asked counsel to address what the court thought was interesting case law on life expectancy in this circuit, Mr. Sannon could offer no case law, no data on life expectancy, and he made no effort to analyze the facts and apply the applicable law as this court would have asked him to do. Mr. Sannon should have known that a successful mitigation argument under this court's precedent.
What relief is it your client wants?
My client would like the reversal of the district court's district court sentencing finding. Alternatively, if the court does not want to reverse the district court below, ask for an evidentiary hearing.
No. What relief does your client want? I'm not asking what procedures you think.
He would prefer a shorter sentence.
Yeah, that's how I read your brief, but I don't understand how the arguments in your brief get you there. The sentence he gets is the sentence that's legally appropriate. I could understand an argument that counsel was ineffective and therefore the plea is invalid and therefore my client gets a trial and loses the discount for pleading guilty and so on. Is that what your client wants?
It would be great if my client could get that relief. There are obviously alternatives that we see that the case law.
I don't see any alternative. But is that what your client wants? Your client wants to give up the discount for accepting responsibility, wants to go to trial and take the risk of an even higher sentence. Is that what your client wants?
Well, my client had either wanted a shorter sentence, which would have been a unconditional plea.
Won't shorten your client's sentence.
Well, he would have pled differently. He would have pled to an unconditional plea, which would have eliminated the need, which would have eliminated the possibility for an appeal, and perhaps reduced his sentence to the lower end of the guidelines. At this point, at sentencing, Mr. Sannon failed to offer an effective mitigation case. His argument boiled down to
I'm now not sure I understand your answer. Have you discussed with Wyatt the fact that the only plausible relief for the arguments that are being made is to vacate the plea and go to trial and take the risk of a longer sentence? Have you discussed that with him?
My client is aware.
And he says that's what he wants?
He said he wants some relief, and if that's the situation, then that's where we go. He didn't specify one particular type of relief, but he's comfortable with that as one possible source of relief.
Well, one thing, how old is he? How sick is he?
Well, his prostate condition, he's in his mid-50s, and he has a prostate condition that has required multiple trips to the infirmary at the different facilities that he's been placed, such that he's required numerous operations. And while he has never recovered fully from any of the operations, he's functional at the moment and able to carry on a job at the prison. But he's someone who has some serious prostate conditions that will require an additional surgery. So we're not talking about the most healthy man out there.
But he's willing to risk a new trial and longer sentence.
He's willing to risk it because he thinks that that's not the result that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'm sorry?
He's willing to gamble it. First of all, the original thing I said he was beeping about, he didn't get to make an unconditional plea of guilty.
Right.
And he thinks he will be found not guilty.
He would like first the opportunity. He states that, and he affirms that, had Mr. Sannon given him the proper information or made the appropriate argument, he would have more than likely pled to an unconditional plea. So
I gather it was not more than likely that he would have.
He would have made an unconditional plea.
But then he's even worse off because he hasn't reserved anything for appeal.
But as it turned out, Mr. Sannon never ended up taking the issue up to appeal all the way as far up as he could have. So it's as if counsel never completed it's as if counsel encouraged him to make an unconditional plea but never fulfilled his part of the deal. At sentencing, in addition to failing on that point, at sentencing, Mr. Sannon's argument boiled down to essentially asking a district court to ignore this court's precedent or overturn it or simply disregard it. And that makes the deficient performance clear. The district court was there telling counsel there's this other area of case law that would make an effective argument. So there was a clearly stronger argument out there that counsel failed to make. It was all well and good, perhaps, to make the argument that Bryant was unconstitutional with regard to the career offender argument. But where he really fell down was going any further. So much of the mitigation argument was foreclosed by then controlling case law in this circuit. But if counsel had gone further, had made an effective argument in mitigation on life expectancy, then this could have been a different case. In addition, the failure to complete the appeal also constituted deficient performance. And as such, we are left
guilty unconditionally. He couldn't have appealed anything.
Right. But he specifically agreed to a conditional plea so he could appeal the evidence.
That's why I'm baffled at why I began by saying, what does your client want?
He seems to
want something that will make him worse off, whether it's an unconditional plea or a trial. He wants to lose by this appeal, and it leaves me puzzled.
If he had known, if counsel had advised him properly, that the conditional plea would have left him open to, would have resulted in such a larger sentence, and had he known that his counsel was...
An unconditional plea would likewise.
But had he also known that his counsel would not complete the appeals process that he had paid for and asked him to complete, then he would have had a different tactic in mind. And you know, when counsel was not going to complete his side of the bargain, a different plea arrangement may have been in line.
Is something in play that if all this thing started all over again, he would be able to argue something about Begay and all that?
Well, certainly. The change in law from the Supreme Court and from this circuit on Bryan, the change in Begay to the court's recent decision in Chambers suggests that tells us quite specifically that a walkaway offense is not violent enough to warrant career offender status. And as such, he would not have been considered a career offender. So if this case goes back to the beginning and we're allowed to do this all over again, there's a very strong likelihood that Mr. Wyatt would not be considered a career offender under the case law as it stands now. And if there are no further questions, I'll reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Waldman. Mr. Simonson.
May it please the Court. Thank you, Your Honor. Andrew Simonson, representing the United States. Your Honors, the issues that are brought before us here today are arguments for ineffective assistance of counsel. And as this court's cases have stated, that the defendant bears a heavy burden and that it is presumed that counsel is effective. There were numerous claims that were raised by the appellant regarding ineffective assistance of counsel, and the district court ruled on them, and the government believes that the ruling of the district court was appropriate and should be affirmed. Initially, the appellant states that he would not have pled guilty if he would have known, or if his counsel wouldn't have assured him that he was not going to be a career offender.
He didn't say he wouldn't have pled guilty. He said he wouldn't have pled conditionally, didn't he?
I think in the claim, Your Honor,
the claim was he said he wouldn't plead at all. He'd go to trial.
I believe that's the claim at this point, Your Honor.
Is it?
At this point, based on
no, it's yes or no.
No, he would have pled to the most likely would have had the unconditional.
That was my understanding.
Okay. Regardless of that issue, the claim is based on the fact that he was informed by his counsel that he was not going to be a career offender. However, there is no information in the record to back that up, and it's basically the self-serving claims of the defendant. The defendant was also provided information from the district court during his plea in which he was informed the extent to which the sentence could not be set until the district court had a pre-sentencing report, and that his sentence could be above or below the mandatory minimums, and it was also asked if any promises were made to the defendant, and he stated no. So he's not in a position to claim now that he would have pled not knowing that when that was all laid out at the sentencing hearing. Also, one of the arguments brought up by appellant regarded the argument in mitigation regarding his medical condition. It's the government's position that that has been waived, that that was not presented in the original 2255 claim to the district court, and therefore it is then waived at this court. Counsel also discusses the defense counsel's discussion of U.S. versus Bryant, and I believe the way that it's couched in the brief by the appellant is that it regarded his ignorance of the law. I think quite to the contrary, the record shows that counsel did understand Bryant and was trying to craft an argument in which it would not apply. Obviously a difficult argument to make, but an argument that was based on the fact that he did understand Bryant and was trying to craft an argument at which it would not be applicable. So that is not a performance issue regarding his performance and also cannot establish prejudice. Finally, Your Honors, there was the issue of a failure to file the writ of certiorari with the Supreme Court. And according to Supreme Court case law, there's no
constitutional... You mean to file a petition for a writ of certiorari?
I'm sorry, yes, Your Honor. According to Supreme Court case law, there's no constitutional right to counsel for that discretionary appeal, and then therefore no ineffective assistance of counsel can apply in that scenario. And unless there are additional questions...
I do have an additional question. What do you think we should do with this peculiar document from the Western District of Texas?
What is that, Your Honor? I'm sorry.
You haven't seen the filings he's made in the Western District of Texas and the transfer order entered by the Western District of Texas sending it here?
No, Your Honor.
You would think the Department of Justice would keep up with all of Mr. Wyatt's filings.
I am not familiar with that particular filing, Your Honor.
All right.
Unless there are additional questions, the government asks this court to affirm the findings of the district court.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Simonson? Sorry, Mr. Waldman. Mr. Simonson has had his say.
Just very briefly to address just two of the points the government makes. With regard to waiver, we don't believe that Mr. Wyatt has waived the argument specifically regarding the life expectancy deficient performance. Claim 28 on, this is page 37 of the special appendix, Mr. Wyatt in his pro se filing refers to counsel's ineffectiveness regarding argument to make sure that the sentence satisfies the factors under 3553A. And 3553A2D refers to the need for the sentence to provide the defendant with needed educational or vocational training, medical care, and other correctional treatment. So in a pro se petition, which we have to view on a more lenient basis than those petitions put forth by asphyxiated counsel that know all the buzzwords, this should, we believe this should satisfy for that to argue that it's not waived. And without any further questions, I thank the court and ask the court to reverse the decision below.
Thank you very much. Mr. Waldman, we appreciate your willingness and that of your law firm to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been to the court as well as to your client. The case is taken under advisement. And